time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 12th of May 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. On Saturday the 12th of May, Jan Scott talked to Jenny Barker of Age Concern, David Basham from Waiheke Radio, Lloyd Whittaker and Peter Robertson about the Titanic concert and Whittaker's Music Museum. She played an interview recorded by Linda Savage with Levi Hawken of Neck Minute fame, and she spoke to Marika Ransom about a public forum meeting hosted by the Austin Ratepayers Association.
Now, hopefully, we've got a connection with Jenny Barker. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Jenny is involved with Age Concern in Auckland, and they've been in conversation with Waikos on the island. That's the Waiheke Island Council of Social Services. And you're about to start up a visiting service for the elderly on the island, aren't you, Jenny?
We are, thank goodness.
Right.
It's time.
It absolutely is. Tell us something about that.
Well, it all started with one of your lovely local young ladies ringing me to see if she could volunteer in some way. She wanted to be able to do something for the community and couldn't quite find her way as to how to do it. Asked me if I had anything happening on the island, and I said I didn't. And quite incredibly, at the same time, I had a call from a gentleman, an older gentleman over there, willing to support anything we would do. And so I decided it was time to look at trying to set it up. And in a whirlwind of about 3 weeks, I've managed to get a coordinator, a lovely lady on the island called Caroline, my first visitor, Sally, and I even got two clients, thank goodness.
Oh, well done.
It's pretty cool.
Gosh, that's a whirlwind.
It is. And I love to share our service because I'm so passionate about what we do over on the other side of the water. And I just couldn't believe that there wasn't something going over there. So because of all the support we've had from, as you say, Waikos and Waiheke Health Trust, Waiheke Community Education and Piritahi Hauora Trust, they're all on board and helping us get this going.
That's absolutely brilliant. Now, of course, Age Concern is new to Waiheke, so tell us something about that organisation and what they do.
Well, we've been around for over 60 years, New Zealand-wide. The accredited visiting service is over 20 years old. It's a free service to older people, and it's funded by the Department of Health because they can acknowledge the importance of what we do. It's a matter of, you know, how everybody has perhaps someone in to shop for them, someone perhaps to do their housekeeping and even shower them. Well, ours is purely the icing on the cake of those services. It's someone just to have a talk and chat and a cuppa, maybe go for a walk in the sunshine on a good day. And so it just adds the whole idea of keeping older people happier in their homes as long as possible.
That's great. So you're not offering any sort of medical assistance or it's really a sort of a buddy system, is it?
It really is. And sometimes it grows to that other situation whereby, of course, a friend might offer to take somebody down the road to get something. But it's not a guarantee that we make. It's one of those added extras. It's a bonus if that happens. It's mainly that someone will know that their visitor will arrive every week for about an hour. And a long-term commitment is what we ask for.
Right. So the volunteers that do this work, do they need to have any special training or...
Yes, although it sounds silly when we say to people a training session because you can't train someone to be lovely and warm and smiley. But what we do over a period of a four-hour session is we get to know the person, their personality, and see who might be the person that would be best matched with the older person. For example, in Auckland at the moment, we've got over 240 matches. I've met every visitor and all the clients as well. And so it's easy for my colleague Sue and I to match people because we've met everybody. It's really important to have personalities that are going to get on well. So what we do is we ask a person to have a police check, two reference checks, just very informal, could be a friend or colleague, and we get to meet them over the training session, and then we decide who would be best matched with them. And we do it locally so that people don't have to travel, which is important, of course, on the Auckland side.
Well, it's actually quite timely because there is an article in one of our local newspapers this week about Karen Craft that's been going for quite a while on the island, and how their numbers are dropping off because people have either moved off the island since the Seaside Sanctuary closed down, or they're not as mobile as they were and they can't get out. So this visiting visitor idea is a very timely one for Waiheke.
It is. It's really valuable because that people don't have to leave their home, and not everyone's designed to be in a group situation to have a relationship. So the one-on-one is really valuable, and of course, then they, if the visitor opens the door to all those neat things in the past that a person sits there and thinks about, but doesn't often share with the family that are around them or the friends that already know them, it's someone new, and before you know it, they're talking about all those neat things that have given them such, you know, great memories and reasons to smile. And it's a two-way win situation, really.
Absolutely. Now, how are you going about recruiting the volunteers?
Well, actually, at this stage, we're looking at a drive. I'm hoping that today might bring some people forward as well. I'll give you my phone number and details later. But we're going to have a drive whereby we put out lots of pamphlets and posters all around the contributors who may be the referral agencies, but also may be places where visitors might go, to the doctor's rooms and to the community houses, that sort of thing. And it's going to be word of mouth to a large degree. And I have to say that, you know, we keep going on this side purely by that and by little ads in our local paper. And apparently we've already got their support over there, so we're going to be doing that and asking people to come forward. And by the time my coordinator is well and up and running, she'll be the person who will train somebody over a period of 4 hours. We try and get a group together, very informal, and over that 4 hours means that we can call ourselves an accredited visiting service because we tick all the boxes.
Right.
And then the next big requirement we have, once we've met somebody, is the communication. We need to hear back from our visitors that things are going well and that they're in place, because we rely on that to do our database work to get our funding.
Right. Okay, so where does your funding come from?
It's the Department of Health.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just for our service. All the time I'm just talking about our visiting service. And as much as we'd love to have all age concern services going on the island, we're starting small where there's a huge need and where I've already got this lovely support.
Right. Now, were you approached to do this service, or did you make the initial contact yourselves?
Well, if I hadn't heard from this lovely young lady, Sally, who said, have I got anything that, you know, is there anything I could do on the island to volunteer, it probably wouldn't have started. It's just that I went to my boss and said, you know, there's somebody who'd like to volunteer. And he said, well, interestingly, I've heard from a gentleman who's got a group of older friends who wonder what they might be able to do and how they could contribute. And I was in a network meeting that same day, and Caroline Jarvie, who lives on the island, was at that meeting. And she said, I'm from Waiheke. I started to talk to her, and she said, actually, I might be able to help you. And she's come on board and very willing to help the service. She's going to be my coordinator.
That's absolutely brilliant. Talk about the planets aligning.
Oh, it was terrific.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely great. So if there's anybody out there who'd be interested in being a visitor, how do they go about it?
They just need to ring me on 820-2714. That's over on the Auckland side. Because it's early stages, that's what I'm going to be doing, is just coordinating all that information. And then Caroline will be kicking off. The other thing is, as far as referrals go for the older person, anybody can refer a person to our service. It could be themselves. They might ring up and say, you know, I'm a bit lonely. A family member might say, you know, we're all so busy. We love our mum. We love our dad. But we'd love to think that somebody else might be coming in, a bit of fresh blood. And the doctors, the hospitals, the social workers are fabulous at referring us, and home care providers.
Okay. Now, we're talking to Jenny Barker from Age Concern. Age Concern is just about to start a service on the island to visit the elderly. Jenny, is there any charge for this service? Does the person who's being visited have to pay anything? Oh, hang on. We've lost contact.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Right.
Yep,
I couldn't hear you. Sorry. Could you hear my question?
Yes. Yeah. And I was just going to say, too, that it's a volunteer service, so all our visitors are volunteers, and there is no charge. It's people that just want an older person in their life, too. They're missing perhaps a grandparent who's perhaps passed away, or overseas, and they just get as much out of it as the client does. And I thought, oh, I'll just read to you one of my latest records of visits, which we require. And it says here, my visits with Betty are going really well. I've been every Sunday except for 2 weeks when I was on holiday in Australia. She's lovely and we have great chats. She loves to talk about her family and show me pictures. I stayed for over 2 hours on the first visit. I'm really pleased I started this volunteer work and I'm really enjoying it. I'll continue as long as she'll have me.
Oh, that's great. Isn't that neat? Terrific? Yes, it is neat. Now, do you have premises here on the island, or is there something
we don't at the moment? Caroline's going to be home-based, but if we can grow the service, which we feel sure is going to happen, then we will look at getting some premises. And I've even, through my contacts with the community education and YCOS, people have been talking to us about giving us a little space if we needed it.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. So will people need to go to town for the training session?
No. I'm coming over very soon in the next couple of weeks to do a training session with my first visitor, Sally, and Caroline, my coordinator. And if anybody wants to join us, it would be the perfect opportunity to get started. Otherwise, Caroline will be running her own training services on the island once she gets going.
Right. Okay. So you will publicise when you're going to be having that meeting.
Absolutely.
And where it will be and all of that sort of thing. So
yes, it'll be in the local papers.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we wish you well for this endeavour. I mean, it's greatly needed on the island, as we said before, and it's a great service that you're doing. So if anybody would like to volunteer to be a visitor to the elderly through the Age Concern initiative, then please give Jenny Barker a ring. And your phone number again, Jenny?
820-2714. I'd love to hear from anybody who's interested.
That's great. Let's hope you get lots of response.
Great.
Thanks a lot, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
It's my pleasure to say a formal good morning to David Basham. Good morning, David.
Oh, good morning, Jan. How are you?
Very well. David has been helping me with that telephone interview. And, of course, he's also one of the DJs on Waiheke Radio. And you're about... Have you started or are you about to start a new program?
Yeah, well, we started. Helen and I started about 3 weeks ago. But we didn't sort of say too much while we were sort of getting it ready, because the biggest thing that's helped us with the show is being able to speak to people on air over the telephone.
Right. Okay, so it's not exactly a talkback show.
No, because it's very difficult with the equipment we've got here to actually deal with call after call after call, but we will be ringing out to people, they'll be ringing in, but it'll be a bit more organised than that. We'll see how we go. What happened was, out of the blue, which started nearly 2 years ago, used to have people come in for interviews, but that's very hard on Waiheke. So being able to ring out, I can ring up a number of people in town that I know who Helen and I can interview over the air.
Uh-huh. So the format hasn't changed from out of the blue, it's just the way you're doing it? Or?
The format's changed slightly in that previously it was just concentrated on mental health issues. We've widened it to deal with ordinary health issues as well, and that's why I wanted Helen to come in, because it's nice to have someone else to bounce off her and work from.
Yes, because she's in the health side of things, isn't she?
Yeah, she has her practice in Onirua, and a lot of the new momentum for the show has come from Helen. She's a real live wire, and she's an Australian, and she's really got into it. And we'll be able to answer questions from listeners, and we'll work through that. But the main thing for me is that it's expanded who I can interview about mental health issues. Previously, I had to rely on either them coming over from town, which they were reluctant to do at times, or finding people on the island. So it's given a really new life to the show.
That's great. Now, just to remind our listeners who may not have caught your show before, when it's on and basically what the format is.
Okay, out of the blue, it's a mental health issues and ordinary health issues. It's on 2:30 to 3:30 every Friday. Helen's a naturopath. I'm what they call a consumer. Now, that's something that people don't know a lot about. It's, they say it's lived experience. I've suffered from depression. I mean, it's not a secret. I've suffered from depression and anxiety since I was a kid, and I've worked in mental health on the consumer side. The idea was to bring in people who'd experienced mental health issues to have them give input, and that's grown enormously. And there's another radio program called Take It From Us in the City, which has been going for years, 5 or 6 years now, and it's modelled on that. In fact, the current presenter helped set it up a couple of years ago. So it's based on the consumer movement, which is very strong because all the DHBs have consumer advisors. In fact, I used to be the consumer consultant to the general manager for mental health for the ADHB, the Auckland Hospital Board. So it's a very big movement. So the idea is to have people with what they call now lived experience to tell people what it's like, to take away stigma and say, hey, look, you know, I'm an ordinary person. I suffer from not a mental illness, as they used to call it, because I don't think I'm ill. Some people might say I'm a bit sick, but I'm certainly not ill. So that gives that kind of informed comment. And it'll take a little while for the program to grow, but Helen and I are growing it. Next week, we're going to talk to a psychologist interviewed from town, a friend of mine, Christina Birkin. She's got a PhD, and she's going to talk about cognitive behavioural therapy, which is really the therapy that they're often using before for depression, before they start talking about medication. So it's quite a powerful therapy.
Absolutely. If there's anybody listening now who'd like to be involved with the show, or you would like to come on the show and talk about their particular experiences, how would they do that?
I think the best thing to do probably is to give me a ring at work, 372, of course, 7925. That's Waiheke Island Supported Homes Trust. It's easy to get me at work. I do spend quite a lot of time there. So it's 7925. Give me a ring there. And certainly we can talk to people. We would like to have guests and people who can talk about their experiences. And also we do hope to get from time to time people like budgeting. We could even look at this age concern one, because it's involving health. And mental health for the elderly is a very big subject, and they're putting a lot of money in for youth, but they're also looking at what can they do for older people, because sometimes they're left all on their own. They're a widow or widower, and all of a sudden they've got a life that they didn't expect. So this could be lots of things we could do with this program.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the dynamics for our senior people on the island changed quite dramatically with the closure of Seaside Sanctuary, and that we saw quite a few of our residents leave the island because there was nowhere for them to stay on here, which is a great shame.
Well, I know both of us are single people and we live on our own, and we've got very good at it because we've developed ways of being involved in the community, being involved in the radio. You have so much involvement in the community. But for people who suddenly are left on their own, it's a big adjustment, and you've got to be out there doing stuff and keeping contact with people. It's so easy just to get caught up at your home and stay there, particularly in the winter.
Well, that's right. But I mean, all it would take is to break my leg or something, and I would be stuck at home because I'm on a very steep section, so I'd be housebound. And it's very easy for people to become isolated through accidents or other misadventure. So it is something that does need to be addressed. And are there? We've got my impression is that we've got quite a good support system on the island for health issues.
Yeah, we certainly have. For physical things, of course, there's the Health Trust, and they've got a large number of paid workers who go out there and work on that. And the number for that is 6195. Jules Grace, you could ring her, 6195. That's the Health Trust. And there's also, for people with mental health issues that want to just talk to people, the Horizons Peer Support Group meet every Tuesday, 2 o'clock at Lazy Lounge, and they just meet to talk about things, and you could talk to people who have the same issue as yourself, or you just want some company, and they meet up every Tuesday at the Lazy Lounge, 2 o'clock, just to have that contact, because it's very, very important, and that's where the Out of the Blue grew from. It grew from the Horizons Peer Support. I don't know the numbers for those. I know there's Rocky and Rod and Sonny. So there's a few people who are the basis for it. But you can turn up there and meet up with them, and it just gives you something to do on a Tuesday and get out and meet some more people. And I know they have parties and they do things and they get together, so it gives you another gives someone else another avenue for finding out some social context, because it is hard on the island. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, a lot of people commute and everyone seems busy, and you can just be as lonely in a busy place as you can in a place that isn't busy.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to David Basham, one of our radio DJs, about his program Out of the Blue. And remind us when that's on, David.
Yeah, it's on every Friday, 2:30 to 3:30. Helen Elscott and myself. Helen's a naturopath, has her practice down in Oniroa at the clinic where the chiropractor is. And she's great. She's got a very basic approach to it, to health. She's not a great one for supplements. She doesn't say, take this, take that. Get your food right. That's her main thing. Get your food right. If you get your food right, then there may be something that's needed. But until you've got your food right, she just doesn't see her. She just doesn't sell you things. She's really got her feet on the ground.
That's good. And the exercise too. I mean, on a beautiful day like this, you can get out and do a wander on the beach or something of that sort if you can. But we're lucky there too, because there are quite a few groups that do exercises of varying degrees, aren't there? From Tai Chi to aerobics to walking. So there's a lot of options out there.
There's a group I see often. I came to the library to drop some things off early one morning, and next thing there's about 20 or might be 30 people all charged past, all going off, some with dogs, some without, men and women all going off for a walk. So there's obviously some groups around there that go off walking. And sometimes it's that company trying to do it on your own. Yeah. If you've got someone to do it with, it gives you a bit of incentive to do it. As you can hear, I don't have anyone to walk with, and I'm not doing as much as I used to.
Yes, that's right. This is where the dog is handy. If you can borrow a friend's dog and take it for a walk occasionally, and it gives you the motivation, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yes. We're also fortunate, I think, that every week in the Gulf News there's a comprehensive list of groups, clubs, societies, of activities from, you know, A to Z. If you can't find something there that sparks your interest, then I don't know where you'd go.
Yeah. Well, I have sometimes when I do the Friday show, the 4 to 6, stepping out, and I have to look through to find out what's on. And I'm stunned by the amount of groups that there are during the week. It covers about 2 pages. So there's a thing just for about everything, from cake decorating, Tai Chi, bridge, all sorts of things. And, you know, people are friendly. That's what I think about the island, that someone can pick you up if you make arrangements. And people are that little extra friendly and will get you involved. It is a little hard to make that first step. But once you've made the first step, it gets a bit easier.
Well, that's right. And you know, a good example for me personally was Toastmasters. I commuted with someone who went to Toastmasters and said, oh, you should come along because you enjoy words and things like that. And I thought, oh, Toastmasters, you know, they're all sort of professional speakers. They'll look at me and think, what on earth is she doing here? But I found it the most supportive group I've ever been involved with, that it wasn't touchy-feely. It was good, sensible advice and good, positive environment. It was a great group.
Yeah, well, that's actually, I think, where we first met.
Yes, I think
back at Toastmasters. I was going to Toastmasters before I came to the island. And it sounds a bit scary to begin with, but it's not just sitting around having a cup of coffee. You actually do something, but in a very supportive environment. It's not there to criticise. It's not there to see what you do wrong. It's very, very supportive. And lots of people can say, oh, I could barely say two words when I first came.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Toastmasters, to me, I had a terrible stutter for most of my life. And Toastmasters has been really the wonderful thing for me. I'd actually still be going, but my Monday night, here's a plug, my Monday night in a mellow tone jazz show interferes with it. But I'm going to get Toastmasters people on the show on a Friday one day just to let them know that out there, you guys, just how easy it really is, and you can fit into the level that you want to. And I think that's the most important. It's not all about these big speakers you see on TV. It's just doing something that you want to. Maybe you've got to do something at work. Suddenly you've been promoted and you have to do presentations. I went to Toastmasters with a lady whose husband had been promoted to the general manager, and she had to do presentations to the wives when they had conferences. And she came to Toastmasters, and that's what she planned. She stayed for a whole year, and that's what she wanted to do. And she came with that goal in mind, and she succeeded. And it was one, the confidence that she had. She said two words the first night, and then at the end she was doing 7, 8, 10 minute speeches. And so it happens. You just grow with it.
You do indeed. I found that in particular it helped my memory.
Yes,
it did. Yep. my memory was much better. I could retain things because you have to memorize speeches and things, and that really helped me. But
I tell you what, I did find different though. I was very confident with Toastmasters, but when it came to speaking on the radio, I found that harder than I did speaking in front of people. I think probably because I was more relaxed on the radio, and I'd start off on a track and I'd realise, where am I going with this?
Yes.
But I think it did help, because you can get used to. One of the things you do practice in Toastmasters is speaking off the cuff, and that's something that people really dread. But you can practice it at Toastmasters, and you can get very good at it.
Absolutely, yes. Well, this brings us back to David's program, Out of the Blue, which is every week with Helen Elscott, and it's on
Friday night. Yeah, for Fridays at 2:30 to 3:30. We've changed the time from the old one. We had to make it a bit later because of Helen's commitments, but it's Friday, 2:30 to 3:30, Out of the Blue. And next week we'll be talking to Christina Birkin, who's a psychologist, and we'll be talking about cognitive behavioural therapy and some things that Helen's doing. And also, I've been trying to put a book review for the last 3 weeks. We've always run out of time, so I've still got it there, so we'll see how we go.
Wish you luck with that, David.
Thank you.
And thank you. Right, you're listening to Waiheke Radio Island Life. I'm Jan Scott, your host until noon. And it's now my pleasure to say good morning to Lloyd Whittaker and John Robertson. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm sorry you've got to use the same microphone because we had a technical hitch with one of the other ones. So now, I gather that the first thing we're going to talk about is this wonderful-sounding concept, a tribute to Titanic musicians. John, would you like to tell us something about that?
Peter.
I'm sorry, Peter.
next Saturday, Saturday the 19th of May, we have our Live at 5 program. And this week we're going to have a tribute to the brave men of the orchestra of the Titanic, who played until the ship went down. And We have David Rawsthorne on violin, and you all maybe remember David. He played as fiddler on The Fiddler on the Roof. Reg Towers, who was also a pianist, and a wonderful pianist he is, and our own Andy Spence, who will be giving a dialogue of the event, and he will also chime in with vocals, some of the popular songs that they sang during the they played during the time when the ship went down. The band of eight persons actually played as the ship went down. They played in order to keep the passengers calm, and I understand from what we've read that they played until they could no longer stand on the deck. All eight perished, of course, with with the ship.
Right. So it wasn't a full orchestra. I always imagined the full orchestra up there on the deck. I don't know why.
No, there were eight persons in the orchestra. Five played in the first class lounge, and three played in the second class, and the third class passengers, they had to entertain themselves. And there was no doubt a good number of them played the popular ragtime of the time. But I think all five on the top deck, and certainly the three on the second class passengers, they did play right to the very end.
So how did you come up with this idea?
The idea was emanated from Reg Towers. Reg has been a long time pianist. He's very well known as an accompanist. And Reg is one of our volunteers and one of our trustees on the museum. And he did suggest that initially he was talking about having a KGB concert. And KGB is Kern's Gershwin Berlin, which would have been very popular. But as the I think it's the 150th or the 100th anniversary of the Titanic disaster, we decided that a Titanic, what would we call it, a tribute, and there's been a lot of publicity concerning the Titanic, it would be very apt to show it at this moment.
Mm, absolutely. So it's only on for the one concert, is that right?
It's only the one concert. It's Saturday the 19th at 5 o'clock. We have our Live at 5 concerts, and we have a full program for the year. And perhaps Lloyd can talk about some of those concerts we've had and some of them that we have planned for the future.
Good morning,
hello.
Lloyd.
Yes, hello, yes. Yes, regarding those concerts, we started them about 14 years ago. We've been up here for 16 years, and we got in contact, well, someone put us in contact with the University of Music in Auckland, and of course they have students up to a very high standard of string quartets, pianists, you name it, and it was suggested that they would use our museum as a venue for part of their training. That's where it all started, and that led on to other concerts, of course, with concert pianists from Israel and a lot of New Zealand ones, and it's just been absolutely a wonderful experience to have great concerts in our museum. We tend to go for the higher class classical, jazz, you know, but we want to keep the standard very, very high, because we feel personally that although we all love jazz, I do too, but there's jazz all around the island. Most of the vineyards will have jazz players, and that's great, really great, but we wanted to have something more for perhaps the senior citizens and the people that really love classical music as well. So we don't mind, as long as it's top class.
Mm. And those concerts have been extremely. We've been very, very privileged, haven't we?
Sure.
Yeah, and some very exciting young players coming through. Yeah, I think too the timing of the show is good, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because it doesn't make it a late night for people.
Yes. We experimented about 13, 14 years ago, having them at say 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and we weren't getting much response because so much else is happening on the island. Choosing 5 o'clock, we can have the elderly coming, and get home in the summer before dark. And here I'm looking at one now. He claims he's elder, but I don't think he's that far yet. I hope he doesn't get the pension because, you know. Okay, but we have lots of fun.
Yes, indeed. And the other thing that we need to stress here is that those condits are extremely popular and they sell out pretty quickly, don't they?
Yes, we've had quite a few full houses, over full actually. Mm. We've even had them standing outside the door. But we need to have about 50 to be viable, and that's about, more than half full, two-thirds full. But we enjoy having them, and I think they're going to get better and better as time goes on. We may even have them more regularly, but at the moment it's about once a month.
Right. So can you tempt us with what might be coming up during the year?
Oh, yes, yes. There's some great ones. We have next month, July 23rd of June, sorry, Max Cryer. Now, I think most of New Zealand knows Max. I've known him for, 40 years or so. I did the music for him at a Bride of the Year show in Stratford, 30, 40 years ago. I was doing a lot of work down there in the music world, and so I got to know him down there, so it'd be good to meet up with him again. And we don't know quite what he's going to do, but we know it'll be good, whatever it is. And he does have an assistant, I believe. And then in July, we've got Joe Harrop with violin and Eddie Giffrey piano. And now we all know Joe. A wonderful, wonderful, highly trained classical pianist. But he gets into all sorts of other mischief as well. This is Joe. Yes, particularly brilliant on the violin. Well, that's his main instrument, the violin. And that's great. And then August, perhaps you won't go any further, but we have a concert pianist with a singer, and then we have a soprano, Matteo Napoli, and then we've got right through, we'll tell you all about those later, finishing up December with Michael Houston. So I don't know, we're going to have seats hanging from the roof, I think.
Oh, wow, so, will you ever?
Yeah, it's going to be really great. And I was at a concert of his just about a month ago, right in the bottom of the South Island. We went down to have a look at that big 19-foot grand piano that was built down there, and everyone was absolutely amazed because no one thought he could ever do it. But Michael did a concert there, Goldberg Variations by Bach, and I tell you what, it was highly classical, but everyone, hundreds of people were there, 300 or 400 people there, and everyone just stood up and just clapped and clapped. It was so well done. Mm. Yes. So, you know, that's great.
Oh, that'll really be something to look forward to, won't it?
Mm.
Yes, yes. That has tempted us.
Oh, good to be tempted.
Absolutely. Mm. To be encouraged. In the meantime, the first of these concerts is, or the next concert is Saturday today, the 19th, a week from today, yep. 5 o'clock at Whittaker's Museum, and it's a tribute to the musicians on the Titanic. Mm. And it's $25 a ticket?
Yes.
Right. That's great. Is there anything else happening at Whittaker's at the moment?
Well, this afternoon, of course, every Saturday, Joan and I do a live show playing most of the instruments in the museum. And then we're also there for bus tours, that bookings with Probus clubs and different organisations, school classes, high school. We love them. Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturday afternoon, what time do you do your live show?
1:30 start.
1:30 start.
You're about 25 past, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a great thing to go to. It really is. And it's for all the family. There are so many interesting instruments there, and to hear them played is just great. Yeah. So thank you, Lloyd, for coming in, and thank you, Peter, for coming in, and all the best with Whittaker's Museum. Long may it continue. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Waiheke Radio, your community radio station, and you're listening to Island Life with Jan Scott. Now, we are just about to play a recorded interview with Levi Hawken, who went absolutely ballistic on the internet just before Christmas with his comment about his scooter that got flattened when he said, "Neck minute, I come out and there's my scooter." Now, Levi is going to be the guest speaker at the International Youth Week celebration on Sunday the 27th of May. So Linda Savage organised this interview with him, and we're going to play it now.
This is part of an interview with Levi Hawken. Interviewers Linda Savage, Lisa Smith, Jessica Rudman.
What do you think of our new halfpipe?
Do you want to ask that again? Or are you going to leave the questions in? Or?
Yeah, we'll add that, yeah. What do you think of our new halfpipe?
I think it's great. It's... There's maybe one or two little things that could have been done to make it better. Maybe if they'd consulted skateboarders or got a skateboarders to build it. But it's stuff that can be fixed. And yeah, I think there's a few guys in the community around here who should be able to get it sorted out, and hopefully before the big day on the 27th.
Sweet. What about painting it? It could be good to paint it, you know, all the outside of it?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
It'd be awesome, eh?
Yeah, there's probably a few local guys that could paint it, and, you know, I might be keen on coming over prior to the day and painting some stuff as well.
Do you know what was really lovely, Levi? When you were skating, there were those young kids, and they all had their skateboards, and all of a sudden they all stopped, didn't they? And they picked up their skateboard
in the eye.
Didn't they? And they were like... Oh, and some little kid said, "Grandma, Grandma, come and have a look." Grandma came along, and they was just watching you go up and down and up and down. It was gorgeous. The kids just, there's such a, you have such a sort of impact on young people like that, don't you, you know? And with all the anti-bullying thing as well, it's really putting some great messages out there. And you're doing it as a skater, which is really talks to kids as well.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you guys had a new ramp, otherwise I would have bought my skateboard, but we had a massive session at a bowl last night, so my body's a little bit destroyed, but I couldn't resist jumping on one of the kids' skateboards and having a little pump back and forth. It's a little bit small for me, but, you know, it's all good. But yeah, I think it's just all the attention that I've gotten has just, it's just been a great... opportunity to really have a voice and a voice from a perspective of the small guy, I guess, and for the kids who, I mean, because I've been a kid for so long.
Is that the skateboarding that keeps you young?
Yeah, well, it's like I'm 36 and I'm still a kid, you know, because, and so, but you know, a lot of kids, they don't really know that they've got a voice and they don't know what is good yet, you know, like basically they go to the ramp and that's whatever's been put there for them. They don't know what a good ramp is, or, you know, like they just, you just adapt to the environment. I mean,
you know, in the car you talked about how skating really saved you, you know, from the bullying, and how skaters stick together. That was really interesting.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of focus on anti-bullying, and I prefer to focus on the solutions to that, and almost taking away the emphasis on that. So it's more about, you know, like giving the kids things to do that unite them.
It's a much more positive way to.
Yeah, and like and you know, because when you're playing together, you know, it's like when you when you're at school and you have people that bully you and stuff, and then you go to school camp and you go on adventures and you might go on a massive bushwalk and it gets pretty hectic and different qualities come out in different people, and often people who might have bullied you will start respecting you. And it's the same thing happens at the skate park, because it's not always the big guy who can skate good, it's often the little guy, or, you know, or the weird looking guy, or the quiet guy, or the strange guy.
You know, it seems appearing on what's that program called?
Is it
after the news?
Oh,
was it Fair Go?
Close
and then
Up.
Close Up. Did you appear on Close Up as well, or was it Fair Go?
It was Fair Go, and I think they had a bit of it on Close Up.
Close Up, that's right. And people have really started talking about the whole message around the bullying and the whole neck minute thing. I mean, that was just amazing. It went viral, went global.
Yeah. And I mean, and that was a perfect example of bullying too, because, I mean, it got massive. A lot of people saw it and they thought that that was actually, I was myself, who I was putting on an act.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is read the comments that were put up there, and there was a lot of really nasty stuff. And I mean, and that's like an example of what you have to deal with if you look different, or you know. But you know, everyone gets bullied in some way or another. And but it was a perfect example after. You know, like after going on 2020 as well, where they did a piece on me which talked about my art and my skateboarding and also my genetic disorder and growing up being looking different and stuff. But yeah, so
growing up and being different, the whole theme around Youth Week this year is love the skin you're in.
So I like that.
You know, and that's such an important thing. So you get anyone that looks different. You know, people with ginger hair sometimes.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. You know, if somebody's a little bit chubbier than
too short.
I mean, I got it. I'm only 4'10". I was four foot six then, but you know.
One of the things that I've been talking to kids and telling them at the youth programs that we've been doing over summer and over the last holidays is that you never know who people are going to be when they grow up, you know?
That's right.
You never know who's going to be, you know, like that fat kid might be tall and skinny and, you know, the geeky kid might be really rich driving a Porsche or like that, you know? Yeah. And he might be the person who, when you go to that job interview for that job that you always wanted, you walk into that office and there's that kid that you bullied. So, I mean, and you never know what's going to happen, and what goes around does come around. And I think, you know, like, kids don't really take that into account. And I also think, like, when you are being bullied, you have to think about the person who's bullying you, because chances are that there's someone else outside of school or outside of where you guys hang out who's bullying them, you know, like
their story.
Parents or family or, you know. So I mean, I think, and the more, and for the bullies to understand that, you know, like, I mean, it's just about education. It's not about, like, forming a police squad and going around stopping bullying. Mm. We are the anti-bullying police squad. This is my big stick.
Katrina, your partner, she was telling me that you went to that place, didn't you? Chumley House?
Yeah, down in Christchurch. It's a home for foster kids where they go between homes, and some of them have been to up to like 29 homes, and they're only like, you know, 7 years old. And but the house actually fell down in the earthquake. And so there's a t-shirt campaign through a company called Shuttle Rock. And you can go on the website at shuttlerock.com and buy a t-shirt. It's a great design. And the proceeds go to rebuilding Chumley House. And yeah, so it was good. We went there and hung out and had a skate with some of the kids. And they were really cool. And like, yeah. It was, I mean, that's the thing. There's so many good things that have come from this whole thing, and it's just making sure that, you know, you make the most of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Levi Hawken Foundation.
Well, that's something that I'm wanting to set up, like, because obviously, for those who didn't know and were concerned about the whole Fair Go thing, and after being ripped off, all the trademarks are in now under my name, and I've got someone backing me. So basically, hopefully we're going to be able to do some really cool stuff with Neck Minute, and we'll have I'll be getting royalties, and so I'd like to have that going into maybe it's the Levi Hawken Foundation, which will be able to fund anything that we can really for the kids, like
programs,
teaching them how to skate, trying to get more facilities built, and also I know a lot of skateboarders. I mean, all my life being a skateboarder, there's no job for you in the industry. It's like if you're a professional league player, then you probably end up, you know, getting a job in that industry, but it's hard to get a job in the skateboard world. Most of the guys that I know that are really good skateboarders have to do like 9-to-5 jobs, which are completely unrelated. And So I'd really like to be able to you know, get those people involved in positive stuff that they love. And so if we can facilitate that, then that'd be great.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
You're really, really kind. That's what I love. When I love just listening to you and watching you. You're really kind. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I'm not always kind. It's like...
But all care. You know, like, you care.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't care. But you really do care. Yeah.
I don't know. But you know what? Like I said, I'm still a kid. I'm gonna, all these things I want to do, it is actually, in a way, it is quite selfish, because all these things that I want to do are to make my world better, and to make, you know, because we grew up skateboarding, and you always got the rough end of the stick, you know, like, you go skateboarding, you'd always get kicked out of everywhere, you know, you'd always, you can't skate here, you can't skate there, we're going to turn all the smooth ground into gravel so that you can't skate anywhere because we don't want you skating. And it's like, well, what's so bad about it? I mean, if anything, it's more old-fashioned than driving a car or a motorbike. You know, it's more like, it's more honourable. I mean, I just feel like it's something that's never been given a proper chance. And it's something that could...
Right, that interview with Levi Hawken was done by Linda Savage, and I'm very pleased to say that Linda is sitting right beside me at the moment. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Jan. First thing I'd like to say is thank you to Jessica Rudman. Jessica Rudman found all the details for Levi, and Jess and I contacted him, and then he finally came over, so really acknowledging Jess for getting the details.
Right, and getting him to come over to the island.
Yes,
when did that happen?
It was last Saturday. It was so interesting because I don't really know the guy or much about him, but Jess did, and there were people, they were looking at us, and so he's quite well known. A lot of the kids when we were at the skate park were like running over and running around him, and on the boat back, so many people kept asking for his autograph. You know, it was awesome.
That's great. Now, he's agreed to come back to the island, hasn't he, for the start of International Youth Week?
It's the end, actually, Jen. Sorry.
Oh, the end.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's the event we've got at the skate park. He's going to be bringing some of his friends with him, and he's going to be doing a little bit of skating and speaking around anti-bullying and, you know, loving the skin you're in. Those of you that know anything about Levi will know that he's got a condition that makes him look very different to everybody else. And as a result of that, he did have it very difficult as a child. So it's really fitting that it's Love the Skin You're In.
Absolutely. So that is on Sunday, the 27th of May.
Absolutely. 12 o'clock till 4.
12 till 4 at the skate park.
Yes.
To meet Levi Hawken. And, I'm sure all our young skateboarders out there will be there in force.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Linda, for coming in.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Right, that's Levi Hawken, who's going to be on the island on Sunday the 27th of May at the skate park, 12 o'clock. He's there as part of International Youth Week.
Waiheke Radio.
Island Life. Waiheke people, events and issues. Brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by The Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. Island Life. Waiheke people, events and issues. Here on Waiheke Radio every Saturday morning from 10 a.m.
Yes, this is Waiheke Radio, your community radio. I'm Jan Scott, your host until noon. And it's my pleasure to say good morning to Marika Ransom. Good morning, Marika.
Good morning, Jan. Thanks for having
me. Thank you for coming along. Now, you're going to talk to us about a community-led workshop that you're running tomorrow. Who's organising this?
It's the Ostend Resident and Ratepayers Association are hosting the workshop. I'm on the committee, and as is Paul Walden and Carol Winstanley. We ran an event in 2010 in March, just after the local board elections, and had a good turnout and good feedback on that initiative. And so we're following up with another event. I attended the New Zealand Planning Institute conference in Blenheim this year, earlier in the month, and there was a speaker from Canada, Calgary, and I'm very lucky to have she's accepted the invitation to come and speak at this workshop and share her experiences in Canada.
That's great. So what sort of format will the workshop take?
I'd just compare it with the format that we took last year. Last year we brought a lot of community groups over from Auckland. We had Flax Roots Village Planning Program from the North Shore. We had the Tamaki Inclusive Engagement Strategy come and speak, and we had a resident association from Campbell's Bay come and speak. So we were bringing in experience from off-island. This year we've really sought to look at what community-led initiatives are happening on Waiheke. Obviously, Waiheke is very rich in community-initiated work. So we've invited representatives, I'm very pleased yourself, Jan, able to come along and give us an update on where the Rocky Bay Store project is. We've got the Waiheke Travelwise program is going to give us an update on where they're at in terms of safer travelling to schools on the island. There's a group that have been looking at a community centre for Waiheke as a physical premises. So we're getting an update from there. And we're hoping also that there'll be an update from the artists' community in terms of the relocation out of Artworks Complex. So that's all really interesting, exciting stuff. And also we've got represented from the Waiheke Island Community Planning Group, who have been working very strongly in the area of structural regulatory planning on Waiheke. So they're giving us an update on where they've been through the district plan review and resource consents, particularly in the Ost End area.
So what are you hoping will come out of the workshop?
I think what we're trying to, the Resident and Ratepayers Association is trying to do is provide an opportunity for discussion within the community in advance of a review of essentially Waiheke, and also, which is in our horizon, is a preparation of a Waiheke local area plan. Those are statutory requirements under the Auckland Council when it became one council. Those are in process, and Hibiscus Bay's local area local board are the first to prepare one of those plans. My understanding is that Waiheke is one of the last on the list to go through that process. But what I'm suggesting, and Aura is trying to suggest, is that we start in that discussion ourselves on our own terms, so that we're ready when we enter that process.
Right, so do we have any idea of when the local board might start the process?
Faye Storer, the chair of Waiheke Local Board, has said that that request is with council at the moment. They're seeking confirmation of timelines, and she is hoping to attend tomorrow too, so perhaps she'll be able to give us an update there.
Right.
Good.
And from your understanding of what happened up at Hibiscus Coastal Bays, is there a lot of community, a lot of opportunity for the community to be involved?
Yes, there is. They are taking. It is a process that they're taking a clean sheet approach. They're trying to tap into existing networks and forums to connect with the community leaders in our community, and so it is a fresh approach. The difficulty is that there are other legacy projects that need to be worked through. For example, up in Hibiscus Bays, there's existing plan changes under the district plan that our legacy and that still need to be resolved. Meanwhile, this process is coming in behind as well. And they are going through, it seems, the Resident and Ratepayers Association are a key contact point for that process, which is why we've been keen to have a presence within Ost End and connect with the other resident and ratepayer groups on Waiheke. they appear to be using a lot of mapping to illustrate ideas and get feedback on what those how they look in, on map form. And some people, that is a useful tool, and sometimes that can put people off and they don't connect with those maps. So it's all about trying to engage with people on a term that they understand and can contribute in the way that they feel most comfortable.
Right. Now, you don't have to represent a particular group to attend the workshop, do you?
Absolutely not. No. This is hosted by the Ostend Resident and Ratepayers, but this is certainly a Waiheke-wide open event, and we welcome anyone and everyone to come along. We've got childcare available, so we are encouraging mums and dads to come along as well. I know it's Mother's Day, but perhaps a Mother's Day afternoon tea could be shared.
Right, that's a good idea. We're talking to Marika Ransom about a community-led planning workshop that's happening tomorrow afternoon. Whereabouts is it being held?
It's at the Waiheke Community Education Centre, which is off Donald Bruce Road in the same complex as the Waiheke Recreation Centre. So it's at Donald Bruce Road, Community Education Centre. There's plenty of parking. And hope to see you there.
What time does it start?
1 p.m. We did originally think that we've certainly got enough material to go till 4. I appreciate that there's other things happening that afternoon, which means we might try and condense it to enable other people to attend other events. Waiheke's got a busy social calendar, but if you can spare an hour or two to come along and hear what it's about, you'd be very, very welcome.
That's excellent. If people can't make it, there's quite a lot of information on your website.
Yeah, we're putting together a Facebook page, and so we will put the presentations and things that are carried out tomorrow on there.
Oh, great. Okay. I was looking at this thinking it was your website, but it's not. It's your email address, isn't it?
Yeah.
For if anybody's got any queries, they can email the Ostend Ratepayers Association, and the email address is oorassociation@gmail.com. So that's OORR Association, one word, @gmail.com. Or you could phone 372-3215 for information on the community-led planning workshop tomorrow afternoon at the Community Education Centre in Donald Bruce Road, starting at 1 o'clock.
Brilliant, thank you.
Thank you very much, Marie, for coming in, and good luck with that. We'll have you back later on for an update to see how everything's going.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's, as Marika said, the Waiheke local board is planning to start the process of working out a local plan for Waiheke and what we want, and these workshops are a step in the beginning to give people the opportunity to air their ideas and their views. So thank you very much, Marika, for coming along, and good luck.
Thanks, Jan. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by the Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.